Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com.
Hey, welcome to your Wiley Manager Podcast. Jed, today on the show, we're talking about dealing with work overload, the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did this a couple of months ago, and we got some feedback on that, so we felt the need to revisit the topic.
Yeah, that feedback was from one of the members on the website asked, I'm all for taking responsibility for my workload issues and accept that many of my problems are probably my own. That's a good first step.
Yeah, good work.
However, how can you tell when you're actually overloaded through no fault of your own? I took up a new role 2 years ago, and I'm still drowning, but I have no benchmarks to judge against that other than I've coped fine in previous roles and within the same organization. So we're going to deal with part of this question, I guess. But the first part of this question sounds like is how can I tell when you're actually overloaded through no fault of your own? Well, I'm going to suggest that it doesn't really matter whose fault it is. So if your question is to try and figure out, do we have answers to how you can tell whether it's your fault or whether it's somebody else's fault? I'm not so sure that really matters a whole lot. So we'll reiterate some of our ideas from before and talk more about, regardless of whose fault it is, how do you get out of it?
This guy's going to hate us by the end of this podcast, isn't he, Jed?
I don't know if he'll hate us, but I'm not so sure we're going to answer his question because I don't think the question that he's asking is really worth answering. I mean, it doesn't really matter whose fault it is, does it? We just need to figure out how to get out of it.
Right. Hey, do you know Dan Savage? You ever follow Dan Savage, the columnist?
I am familiar with him. I would hesitate to say I follow him, though.
Yeah. So Dan Savage has made a career out of abusing some of his listeners and people that write to him quite badly, and they still keep listening. So we should try that.
We'll try some of that today.
Yeah, I wouldn't try a lot of other stuff Dan Savage broadcasts on, but this stuff I'm let's give it to him.
Yeah. All right. So some of the tough talk we sort of started there already. If you've been drowning for 2 years, it's nobody's fault but your own. So
there you go.
How do you tell if it's not your fault? It is your fault.
It's always your fault.
Well, in the end, it's you're the one that has some choices to make, right? So it's your fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it might be. What you need to focus on really, though, is how are you going to get out of it? And that's what we're going to try and help out with the balance of the podcast. It's not really healthy for you. It's not healthy for your family if you're feeling overwhelmed. And in the end, it's not really good for your company either, right? In the long run, that could lead to turnover, could lead to missed deadlines, lower quality work as you try to rush to get through the many priorities that you have on your desk. So being overwhelmed isn't good for any party involved. We're going to talk now about how you might be able to figure out how to get out of the trouble.
Right on. But the first step, Jed,
is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah. So we should have called this "How to Alienate Listeners in One Easy Podcast." But I'm being a bit flip, but nevertheless, it is true, right? So you need to choose to do something differently than you do it now if you want a different outcome. If you want to keep feeling overwhelmed and frustrated, just keep on doing what you're doing. I guarantee that'll continue.
Indeed.
All right. So what do we do?
Well, I'm going to suggest that really, if there are periodic occasions when you need to be, working some extra hours, doing a lot of overtime. But for the most part, when you're working overtime for extended periods or you're feeling overwhelmed for 2 years, like the unfortunate person who wrote in, that's just not right. It really points to a fundamental failure in planning and communication, I'm going to suggest.
Yep.
So we'll talk about those two things. If we can figure out how to do a better job planning and do a better job communicating, I'm going to suggest you're going to start to feel a little less overwhelmed than you currently do.
Right on. Let's dig into it then. So we'll start with planning.
Yeah, on the planning front of it, there's a few different questions I'm going to challenge you to ask yourself that will help you figure out where you might be. So one of those questions might be, of all the priorities or projects that are currently underway that are making me feel overwhelmed, which of those is the most valuable thing I could possibly be working on?
Right.
So this is really the exercise of going through and trying to prioritize. I'm overwhelmed, I'm assuming, because I have too much to do.
Right.
All right. Of all the things that you are doing or are supposed to be doing or think you have to do, what are the most valuable things I should be spending my time working on? And then to another level, so which of those projects is going to have the highest direct impact on the user of whatever work I produce? So on my customer, whether that be somebody external to the company or an internal customer, how much is that particular work going to do that I'm doing going to benefit them? Because although you might be working on stuff that's for you and benefit you, the most important thing that you should be thinking about might be, how is that work going to benefit others in the organization or benefit the end user of what it is that I produce?
Right.
So that's the second question I would challenge you to help you do some of this planning. Then think about how much work effort each of those projects is going to take. Some things might be very quick to turn around and have high benefit on your customers. That'll help you determine where in your priority list they go. Others might take months to complete or to finish or bring to an end. So think about how much work effort each of those is going to take. That's going to help you do some prioritizing planning as well.
Right. Not all things are created equal, right?
Indeed.
So, yep.
And the last thing, very simply, we've done entire podcasts on delegating, but the last question I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself with is, am I doing something that could be done by somebody else?
Yep.
So is there something that you should or could be delegating out that you don't have to own?
It's a great question. This is a bit of an arcane reference, but in the era of YouTube, people can go look it up if they don't know what I'm talking about. So like in the 50s, right, the 1950s and early 60s, I Love Lucy, with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz was on the right? So I wasn't around for that, but I did see it in reruns.
Yeah.
And I know it's classic. You remember Lucy and Ethel on the Chocolate Factory, right? So they're working. Do you remember this one?
Yeah.
All right. So they're working on an assembly line, right? And so the chocolates keep coming faster and faster and faster, right? And so it's Lucy and Ethel's job to pull them off the conveyor belt and put them in boxes, wrap them up, and send them away to be shipped, right? So the chocolates keep coming faster and faster and faster and faster, and of course, hilarity ensues, right, as Lucy and Ethel try to cope with this, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually quite instructional insofar as that's how people manage their work lives, right? So the conveyor belt keeps going faster and faster and faster and faster, and they don't do anything different. So they end up doing what Lucy did, right, which is like throwing chocolates over her shoulders, mm-hmm. popping them in her mouth, right? There's no possible way.
Rather filling than, up her
right,
bra.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than walk over and slow down the conveyor belt, right? Or,
yeah.
Do something different, right? Get another set of Lucy and Ethel's, like do something differently. And that's exactly what people do here. And what you're suggesting is that, okay, Lucy, Ethel, okay, let's sit down and figure out how to – we know we've got a problem here with the volume and increasing speed. So let's do something different to impact a different outcome rather than just shove the chocolates in our bra.
Yeah, you need to carve out a little bit of time to sit down in a room by yourself with a piece of paper and ask yourself some of these hard questions.
Right on. Okay, so planning is one part. The other part you suggest is communication, which I'm going to argue is probably what I would call stakeholder management, but nevertheless, lay it on us.
Yeah, communication, stakeholder management, managing expectations, all of those types of things. But the way you get any of those things done is by talking to somebody about your situation. And I'm going to suggest the first person you should go talk to is to your boss. So
probably a good idea.
Once you sat down and you've worked out some of the plan and some of the priorities, and you can highlight for your boss, hey, there's only so many hours of work in the day, I can get all these things done, but the other 10 things that are on my list, there isn't enough. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. I can't possibly get them done. So you need to go talk to your boss about your plan. Get some alignment and agreement on what those, the answers to the questions I challenged you with earlier.
Right. And and one of the things you should talk about too, whenever you talk to your boss about such things, don't go in and be a whinger, right? Like don't go in and just start whining about, I got too much work to do, right?
No.
You need to manage that conversation carefully. And we did a podcast on upward managing that might be worth dusting off if you're destined for that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I did the planning in the first place, right? So come with some of the facts and data and why I asked you to think about work effort too, right? So he might say, well, we need to get this and that done. Okay, great. Here's some data that tells me it takes this long to get these kinds of things done.
Yep.
I got, 50 hours in a week in order to get that done. I got three people working for me. The work effort times the resources that I have is not enough. We're not going to meet the deadline unless something in this plan changes.
Sometimes you can just work harder, but other times that's just not the case.
Well, if you're feeling overwhelmed for 2 years, you're being asked to work harder, work harder, work harder, work harder. That's not, that's not sustainable in any kind of way. So
what if you're just a scatterbrain and you can't get your act together?
Well, then your boss might, that's why you go talk to your boss. Your boss might have some feedback for you. Your boss might have some different suggestions for you. Your boss might be able to help you solve this problem. And if it is in fact that you've maybe been promoted into a job that's just over your head, because there's maybe the person on your team that does the same job as you is managing just fine and isn't feeling overwhelmed. Well, great. How can you maybe go get some of that help? The idea is, and why we can call it communication, is you take the plan to the boss, but you might talk about all kinds of things that are going to help you solve some of these problems.
Right. Okay. So your boss is arguably the most important stakeholder. Tell us about some of the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, after you get some alignment from your boss, then you need to take some of that plan to your team as well, right? So you can make sure that they're supporting the work in the right kind of way. They're working on the most important priorities, and they're helping you manage the workload, and you're delegating to them effectively. So you need to take the plan to them to make sure that they are focused on the exact same things that you're focused on, thereby hopefully not missing deadlines and making the work a bit more manageable.
Right on.
The other folks I would say you need to take it to is the end user of your work, right? Whether that be somebody internally to your organization or an external customer. Go right. talk to them next saying, hey, here's realistically what we can produce and what we can do for you over the course of the next little while. Get some alignment from them about that work and set expectations with them about when they can expect that work and of what kind of quality. And equally as important, here's what's not going to get done. So we'll get to this, but on these kinds of timelines, because that's the kind of resources and availability and capacity that me and my team has to deliver these things to you.
Okay.
If that's not acceptable, again, you need to run that plan back up to your boss and say, hey, we either need to put more resources against these initiatives or live with what we can get done realistically.
Okay. So you're in each of these cases with these various stakeholders, you're talking about, going back and really carefully managing the expectations with them and pushing back in certain ways. Give us a little more dirt on how we can do that. How do we push back on things, particularly, for example, when we're talking to our boss?
Yeah. I think if you're just putting your head down and continually trying to work harder, you're going to feel overwhelmed. You need to have that conversation with your boss, and obviously respectfully, but you need to be able to question the value of the different new projects that are getting dropped on your desk, right? You need to have that conversation with your boss about how does this value the end customer? How does this value the end user? And where does that fit in the priorities of the other 10 things that we're working on that are hopefully adding some value as well? So you can work with that person, your boss or the customer, to prioritize some of the work that you're being asked to do. So question right. the value of every meeting you go to, question the value of every new product that gets dropped on your plate.
That's actually really important, because oftentimes we end up doing a whole bunch of crap nobody cares about just because we've always done it.
Yeah, maybe there's other things that can be dropped off. I mean, and that's what you figure out by communicating effectively with all those stakeholders, right? So filter all those kinds of requests through the list of priorities, right? And figure out where they fit within your list of priorities. So if you have, the top five things you're working on and somebody comes up with a new great idea one morning, you need to figure out where does that fit in those top five priorities? Does it kick number five down to number six and actually gets inserted in the number three spot, or where does it go? Because not everything can be a top priority.
Right on. All right. What else?
I would suggest making yourself inaccessible at times. Like, we like to try and have open door policies, which is a great idea if you don't want to ever get anything done.
I just disappear off the face of the earth for certain periods of time. Does that work too? Or
I think that can work. So there's different strategies behind either closing your door or, putting your headphones on if you're working in an open office kind of environment. The other thing that I do sometimes is work from home.
Yep.
Right. So if you do have something that requires a lot of attention and you want to just sort of buckle down and get it done without the risk of any distractions that your particular office environment might have, work from home for a period of time in order to slug through some of these things. I think it's okay to turn the phone off every now and then and just make yourself inaccessible to pound through some work.
Right on. And if you work from home, you can wear your underwear and your fuzzy slippers too.
Like you and I do every time we podcast.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Ask for help. I think, we talked earlier about talking to your stakeholders, talking to your team, talking to your boss. You don't want to go in and whinge, to your point, Bob, but to go in and ask for help, you shouldn't be so proud that you can't go to your boss and say, I am just drowning here in all this work and I could use a hand. Now, if you show them, again, if you've done the planning and you've shown them the work effort required and can show some of the facts and data that suggest, hey, this just isn't getting done with the resources I have, go ask for that help. Don't be so proud that you're not willing to do that.
Yep, good call.
And we talked about this other one already. That's delegate whenever possible. You should be pushing work as deep down into the organization as you can, as deep as it makes sense too, right? So you shouldn't be doing work that could be done by somebody lower in the organization, if I can use that word.
Right on. Okay, give us three things. One, two, three.
One, two, three. All right, so three things. It's actually your boss's responsibility to get as much out of you as she can.
That's right.
So it's not unusual for the boss to be asking for more and more out of you. So that's a normal part of work. So get used to it. It's how you respond that's going to be the important part.
Yep. Get over it.
And that is in fact number two. It's your responsibility to tell her when you've reached overload. It's not necessarily always, her responsibility to understand that. She might not know, right? You need to tell her, hey, this isn't possible. I can't get all this work done in a reasonable amount of time that allows me to do quality work for you, meet deadlines, and still have a life outside of work.
Right on. And number three.
You have choices, my friend. You can do nothing or you can do something.
Hey, there's words to live by.
And again, we don't need to sound too flip, but if you've been feeling like you're overwhelmed for 24 months, for 2 years or more, I would suggest you haven't done enough, at least. You need to do something about changing that. And there's a number of different stuff you can do, right? We've talked about a few of them. And if none of those things is working, you might have to decide to go work for a different boss or a different company where you will be happier. Because I'm imagining the person that writes in saying they're overwhelmed for the last 2 years, they're not happy about their current situation.
Yeah, no kidding. Headed for a tall building somewhere.
Yep.
Right on. Okay. Well, if this is something that you want to learn more about, Jed and I've done a number of podcasts on this, so you can check those out either on iTunes or back at the Wiley Manager website. We've done just a few weeks ago, actually, we did one called I'm Overwhelmed Dealing with Work Overload, which is this one is the sequel to. We've done Time and Priority Management, Jed. We've done Delegation. And if things go horribly wrong for you, we've also done a podcast on how to quit. How to quit your job in a maybe sort of more productive or progressive way. So we'll remind everybody that we only leave our last year's worth of podcasts on iTunes. The rest you have to go to the Wiley Manager website to get. And we encourage you to look those up.
All right. And what's coming up next on the upcoming podcast, Bob?
Coming soon to a Wiley Manager Theater near you, we're going to do Circles of Focus, that weird Lord of the Rings thing. Mm-hmm. No, it's about how to focus your efforts. We're going to do Project Management 101, and we're going to talk about how to influence your boss, Jed.
All right, cool. And each one of these podcasts that we do comes with a bit of a cheat sheet. And we've bundled five cheat sheets together and called it Be a Mentor, Not a Micromanager. And those that little bundle of cheat sheets is available to you free at the Wiley Manager website. So go pull it off there and let us know what you think. Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.